There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman and Matt Weaver, who looked pumped up for the Pacers game this evening. We're here to talk about Indiana football and recruiting, as always, with Matt of Pigs.com. Does a fantastic job covering recruiting. And it's been a hot start for Kurt Cignetti's Indiana Hoosiers on the recruiting trail. Their class it is just outside the top 25 for the 2025 class. If you want to feel old, they sit at 28th nationally in the 247 composite. And then they added another another transfer portal guy for the 2024 season. Just moments ago, so we'll talk about that. TJ, how are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah, excited to talk about the addition here most recently for Indiana, a much needed one. We'll get to that here in a minute. And kind of the remaining needs as IU tries to plug some holes, really your last chance to address issues on your roster prior to the upcoming season. So it's a big time for the staff to hopefully plug a couple of gaping needs on the roster. Other than that, I think you feel really good about things. No major injuries through spring and a lot to talk about.
Matt, how are you doing with the Ellie De La Cruz MVP campaign for the Reds? You have the Pacers looking to close out the Milwaukee Bucks tonight and maybe have a Knicks-Pacers round two game. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Let's talk a little recruiting overview, Matt. What are your thoughts on this class so far? They're sitting at 28th nationally. You know, you mentioned earlier on one of our earlier podcasts that you thought Indiana's class would grow you know, a little bit sooner than usual. Under Tom Allen, we saw a lot of recruits come in and commit in June. It's now April 30th, and this class sits at eight members. What are your thoughts on this class so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wish I could predict the lotto numbers like I predicted. I think I said 8 to 10 commits by the time they got to June officials. And June officials will actually start on May 31st. And then, you know, go for the next few weekends. But they're at eight. I don't know if they're going to add any more. I thought they would get Chris McCorkle. I didn't know that they'd get him here in the last week. I thought maybe it happened on his visit, but I knew they were in great shape with him. But, you know, who knows, there could be one or two more before they get guys on campus in June. But I think June's going to be a productive month. I think they're going to get, you know, a number of commits that during those visits as well, or maybe soon after. So it's going well. They're doing a great job recruiting. You know, this staff is good at this, you know, and it shows on the recruiting trail. And you always kind of wonder when you have kind of a hybrid staff of new guys and then guys that have worked together, you know, kind of, you know, not that they won't click, but maybe it takes a little bit of time. They've hit the ground running and recruiting. The guys that obviously on the James Madison staff, you know, did a good job there bringing in players. And then these new guys that, you know, are new to the core of the coaches that Cignetti brought, they've done a really good job as well. So I think they're doing a good job. Now, obviously, it's April. It's still, 8 months till guys sign? Just a little under 8 months until they'll sign. So, you know, coaches always say the biggest thing is you got to recruit your committed guys harder than the uncommitted guys. So they're going to try to keep these guys committed, and hopefully they will, but they're off to a great start.
It does seem like they have, at least based on my perception, kind of landed their top targets in the secondary here early. Is that accurate to say, and McCorkle in particular seemed like he was pretty high up on the priority list for the staff.
Yeah, I would agree. And what I would say from what I've heard from talking to some of the people in the program, if they're taking commits now, these are guys that are high up. Because I've been told Cignetti is somewhat picky, choosy, whatever words you want to use, about who he takes early on. And in some cases, he may wait to see senior film, even though there may be a guy that a lot of people would expect them to take. I'm not saying there's anybody offhand I know, but if they're taking commits now, then you pretty rest assured that these are guys that they really, really wanted and they really, really liked. So, yeah, I would say right now they're getting – it may not be the number one guy on their board, but it's in the top group and high enough up that they feel very comfortable taking an early commit from him.
Matt, let's go through some of these guys who have committed recently, starting with Traveris Daniels, linebacker out of Fort Lauderdale in Florida. St. Thomas Aquinas is one of is a big time program down there. What does he bring to this class as a three-star linebacker?
Yeah, he's kind of been kind of a hybrid guy, been kind of a safety. But, you know, they see him playing, you know, that outside linebacker spot. The old staff called it the stinger. I think they just call it maybe the weak side backer. I'm not sure they have really a name for that position. But that kind of outside, a guy who will be good in space. Maybe you can use him, you know, you can maybe blitz him some off the edge. But an athletic guy, like I said, play DB. You know, I think he's listed at 6'1", 200 on our site. I think he's actually closer to 210. So he's already starting to get into that linebacker size, but obviously a tremendous program, as you mentioned down there, St. Thomas Aquinas is fantastic. They're always really good. So, I mean, he's used to, and he's going against other really good programs. So, you know, this is a guy that it's hard for freshmen to come in and play, but a guy like this, it wouldn't be shocking if he's coming in and he pushes for playing time right away because, you know, the competition he's gone up against. And also, I mean, that position, not that it's easy to play linebacker, but that's the position where, you know, if you're okay size-wise, you can probably adapt pretty quickly to playing that at the high college level. But he's a good get, and it's a guy that they really, really like. I think he's already made two visits, and he'll be coming back, I believe, for an official. Yeah, so he's been up here at least a couple times, built a great relationship. I think the biggest thing with him was getting mom on board with the distance from home. And so obviously they were able to do that.
Well, they do have, you know, direct flights from Fort Lauderdale to Indianapolis and on Southwest. That's a very popular flight, and hopefully they can get them up there. Next guy I want to talk about, Matt, is probably the most intriguing guy of the class in Blake Thury. He plays every single position on the field, tight end, long snapper, running back, linebacker, you name it. He just seems like one of these guys out of Wisconsin that you go, where did they find, usually from the Badgers, you know, where did they find this guy?
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it's Prairie Du Chien. Hopefully I'm saying that right, his hometown. I'm wondering if he's one of these kind of smaller towns that, you know, kind of like we have here in Indiana. And this kid is just like the stud athlete in that town, obviously. Uh-huh. And like you said, he's one of the top long snappers in the country. He basically is like a tight end wide receiver. You know, watch a little bit of his film, kind of remind me of Hendershot when I saw him in high school at Tri-West, you know, splitting out a lot. But I mean, a tremendous athlete. I think he plays like linebacker or edge there for his defense. I mean, this is a kid that's, you know, he's, once he focuses on one thing, it'll be interesting. He won't be a primary long snapper, I don't think, for them. But I can see him being a guy that they have as an emergency, or maybe he's your number three guy, just because, you know, it's tough to do both. But this is a guy that, you know, once he gets in, gets a little bit bigger, gets stronger, he could be a heck of a weapon at tight end. And we saw it in the spring game with Zach Horton. They throw the ball to their tight ends. Now, they use him, obviously. I don't think it's as big of a piece of their offense as it was with the previous staff, but it's still a big piece. And Horton's the guy that was all conference for him last year. So this is a guy that I think is kind of in that mold. Maybe not a huge 6'6", 250-pound guy, but a guy that fits what they're looking for at that position.
Yeah. And then, you know, kind of touch on electrifying receiver LeBron Bond. Drawn comparisons just because it's easy. A lot of Indiana fans online posting that he reminds them of Jalen Lucas's film. That's an easy comparison. I don't necessarily think it's all that accurate. I think Bond is a much more natural receiver. much more natural catcher of the ball, and it has more of a, you know, easy position to slot him into, whereas Lucas ended up being something that the IU staff just never quite figured out exactly what to do with. I think Bond, to me, looks like more of a natural receiver that Indiana can do a lot of damage with out of the slot.
Yeah, I would agree, TJ. I mean, he's dynamic. He's incredibly he's a track guy, but he's not a track guy playing football. A lot of times you see those guys and, you know, they can't catch or they don't really have the skill set. He's got the skill set. You know, you watch him, actually kind of watch some of his highlights right now. I mean, obviously he's got speed to burn. Play him on the outside. Obviously, he'll probably be more of a slot guy in college because of his size. But, you know, he's a guy that you might be able to put some on the outside and have him run some go routes or some posts or whatever. But, I mean, he can fly. And you know, these are the kind of guys and you know, maybe a little bit bigger than Shane Wynn, but kind of similar to a Shane Wynn type, who was a terrific player at Indiana, made a ton of plays. Although he seems, even though he's short, he seems like he's got a little bit more meat on the bones than Shane. Shane was really small. Now, I mean, he was still really good and he got bigger, but he was a small guy, you know, when he played at IU. But this is a really good get to. You know, this is the kind of guy, and I you know, he's in good with IU, but this is the kind of guy that, you know, you worry about as you get closer to signing day, because if he has a monster senior season, this is the guy. He's down there in ACC, kind of SEC country, you know, and some of those big boys come calling. But, you know, he committed early. Another kid where I think, you know, distance was a little bit of a factor, but they were able to, you know, to kind of ease the family's mind on that. And, you know, this is the wide receiver position at Indiana. Obviously, they're losing a bunch of guys. We've talked about that in the past. I mean, it's a good group, but there's like six guys that are out of eligibility after this year. But the one thing they really need, and even Signetti's talked about this, they need some more speed. They need some more guys who can take the top off of defense. And this is exactly what LeBron Bond gives you.
He's also, I believe, the staff tweeted out the first FBS player named LeBron, or, you know, Power 5 player named LeBron. Pretty cool.
Won't just be the last.
I did not know that. Interesting.
Just fun fact. Will not be the last. Next is Byron Baldwin, safety out of Towson, Maryland. Had some big offers from Tennessee, Minnesota, you know, West Virginia, Wisconsin. IU needs some safety depth there. Matt, what does he bring to the table?
He's a versatile guy. I mean, he's a guy that he's being recruited as a safety, but, you know, I can see him playing. You could maybe put him at corner some. He could definitely play the nickel, that nickel corner position. I think they call it Rover, that hybrid position. But, I mean, he's a modern-day DB. I mean, you see it all the time nowadays. Even guys getting drafted in the NFL, you know, they played safety in college. They get announced as a corner at the draft or vice versa. Guys who can move around. I mean, it's almost, you know, basketball. It's like positionless basketball. It's almost like positionless defensive backfield. You want guys who can do different kinds of things. There's the days of you have a strong safety does this, a free safety does this. It's kind of, you know, that's kind of outdated. Now you have guys who can go back and forth and do both. And he's that kind of guy. Can also cover, like I said, you can put him in the slot, probably put him on the outside and covering guys. So, you know, once again, I mean, you know, all these, you know, in recruiting, all these guys won't pan out. You hope they do. But this is a good get. And, you know, their job when they get him here is to develop him. You know, this is a guy being there in Maryland. I think they were recruiting him when they were at JMU, so they had a relationship. Coach Adams, obviously, I know he wasn't on the staff before, but, you know, he's done a good job recruiting. And this is another really athletic kid, which obviously in college football, you need those kind of guys on the back end who can, you know, erase mistakes when they happen.
Yeah, so the staff has to juggle, you know, recruiting your commits, recruiting guys you're trying to get to commit, and filling out your roster in the portal. Plus, you know, trying to make sure that you keep the guys that are on your roster. A ton to juggle for them. We will ask you to do the same. Kobe Miner leaving, you know, some depth concerns at defensive back, and obviously defensive line is the issue that's on everybody's mind for Indiana, particularly on the interior of the line. Right before we start recording, IU gets Tyrese Tucker, or Tyreek Tucker, from James Madison. Kind of talk about that addition. I think a big thing is he's got multiple years of eligibility left, so that's a, you know, a nice addition to get him. What else do you think IU's trying to get done numbers wise on defensive line, and then kind of take a peek at the defensive backfield as well? It's getting close to the end here for guys to enter the portal, and your options are going to start running out quick.
Yeah, for undergrads it's today. For graduate guys, it's tomorrow. You know, they got Tyreek Tucker. Once he went in and started talking to some people, I felt pretty confident that he was going to end up at Indiana. Obviously, it's great that you know him. You know what he can do. I think he started about 5 games. He was projected to be a starter there this year. He gives him depth, knows the defense. Obviously, Coach Koontz knows him as being his position coach. They're going to get at least one more, or well, the plan is to take at least one more. Obviously, they're not going to take somebody, just take somebody. DJ West is the guy they want. He was in this past weekend, the Kent State transfer, and who's absolutely blown up. And I'm not saying CJ West doesn't deserve the attention, but it shows you the priority that schools are putting on D tackles when you see his offers.
Yeah.
And he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but he was, I think he was third team all MAC, which isn't bad. There's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, he's getting offers like he was first team all Big Ten, you know, or any power high major. And it just shows you the need for interior defensive linemen. I've heard the visit went really well. We'll see what happens. I know Michigan's after him. I think he's apparently maybe scheduled a visit there, but the hope is that visit doesn't happen, and that maybe he's, you know, he's getting close to decision mode. You know, we'll see. I think we'll probably know more by the end of the week. But everything I've heard is that the visit went great. There is some confidence, but you know, until it happens, let's be honest. Some of this is going to come down to money. I mean, that's what we're at. Some of this is going to be about NIL dollars. You know, and then obviously once you kind of, if you can get equal with everybody else, then it becomes more of a traditional recruitment. Who does he like the best, and where does he see there's playing time to be had at Indiana? I mean, we've talked about this. You've got Carpenter who will be back, Marcus Burris, and a whole bunch of question marks. You know what I mean? So now Tyreek Tucker gives you some depth, but CJ West is a guy that can step in. And then one thing about D tackle, not so much about starting. People always ask who thinks will be the starters of D tackle. I always tell them I watch more who's on the field with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter when they have a 3-point lead or a 2-point whatever, and you got to get a stop. Who does the defensive coaches trust to put out there? At D tackle, you're going to rotate guys. So to me, it's, you know, who starts, who doesn't, it's not as big of a deal. Who gets the snaps when it matters? And this is a guy that can come in and really, really help you and be a force in your defensive line. Hopefully they can get him. You know, there's some other guys I've mentioned to talk to. Latrell Jean is an old name. It's actually kind of cool to touch base with Latrell again. He's from South Florida. I almost came to IU 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was. He's at FAU. He could be a possibility, and he may be anyways. I know they'd like to maybe take a third D lineman that could kind of do like a Vincent Snead, play D end and maybe slide inside at times. You know, a guy kind of like that, an Andre Carter, you know, a guy who could, I'm not saying to be Andre Carter, but kind of like that kind of a guy. Latrell might be a guy who could do that, who could kind of give you a little bit of both. So I think, you know, they're looking for one more for sure, and then another guy who could be a little bit of a hybrid. So those are kind of the top names right now. You know, we'll see where things go. But if they can get CJ West and you add him to Tyreek Tucker, all of a sudden your defensive tackle rotation is looking a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk one more high school guy coming in, Matt, and it's Chris McCorkle, four-star, is rated in the top 247 with 247 Sports. IU beat out Florida and Florida State for the Sarasota native. How'd they land Chris McCorkle?
Well, this is another guy. They had a good – and like I said earlier, I'm not shocked that he committed. A little surprised on the timing just because I thought he might wait till his visit. But I knew they were in great shape. I mean, I've, you know, messaged with Chris some over time and you know, I know he really liked Indiana. I think he was up, I want to say for a junior day, but there's so many visitors. I could have that wrong. But he's the kind of corner you want, long, athletic. He's got to get a little bit bigger. I think we have him at 172. He's probably actually bigger than that, but he needs to add some mass to his frame. But it has all the ability. I mean, like I said, the length, the athleticism, and all that kind of stuff. The foot, the feet, to play the position. This is a big time get. I mean, this is a really good get. Four star corner from down in Florida. Sarasota, Cardinal Mooney. So, and once again, this staff has just done a really good job of hitting or of getting guys targeting, getting their board in order, targeting those guys, and say, you're not gonna get all of them. You know, Bill Self said, if you hear yes more than no in recruiting, then you're recruiting the wrong guys. And I'm sure they've heard no just as much as they've heard yes, but the key is, can you get enough yeses so that you get enough of the guys that you want? And I think so far they've obviously done that. And hopefully that'll carry over to June. I think June could be an exciting month for football recruiting for IU. I think there's going to be some guys who are going to jump on board and get this class. I mean, I would be shocked if they're – I think this class will have around 18 to 20, maybe 21 high school kids. I wouldn't be shocked if they're two-thirds, three-fourths of the way there coming out of June. I think there'll be a number of commits in that month. We'll see if I'm right. Again, I'm not right very often, but even a broken clock's right twice, isn't that what they say? So we'll see if I'm right again. But I think they're going to do well in June. I think they're going to get a number of guys jumping on board during those visits.
Yeah, I think Steve Wilfong said McCorkle had 9 interceptions his junior year and 15 pass breakups, which begs the question of, what are these offensive coordinators of Florida doing throwing to his side of the field if he has 9 interceptions?
That's this year may go down quite a bit. It may be like one interception and a couple, because nobody's going to throw at him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know.
No, which is probably
yeah, he's a heck of a target. He's a heck of a prospect.
Matt, let's talk.
Defensive backs do you think the staff would like to add now that Kobe Miner is in the portal? You add Sidarius Doss from Austin Peay, so that's one. How many additional secondary players do you think this staff is looking to add? Would it be a couple or just one more corner? I guess part of that depends on their confidence level with the young, unproven players. With how quickly do you feel like guys that haven't played a lot can help you out?
Are you talking about portal guys for the upcoming season?
Yes.
Portal DBs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, they were already trying to add at least one more before Miner. And obviously, listen, Miner stings. I mean, he played well in the spring game. He was probably looked like going to be a starter, and play quite a bit. But this is the world we live in. I will say this, of the two defensive back positions, I think corner can absorb the loss a little bit better than safety, but it's still a blow. What helps you is getting Dawes, D'Angelo Pons, who people have talked about, just went in the portal from James Madison. Now, he's a smaller guy, but what it allows you to do, you know, they move Toomer to safety at the start of spring ball. If you get a Pons, you got Dawes is going to be that rover guy, that kind of nickel corner. I would assume Pons would probably be the same, but it would allow you, Toomer gives you the ability to play both spots. But they're still, they had DJ Warnell in from Arizona. I haven't heard a bunch about how that visit went. But he was in this past weekend. He's a safety, getting safeties who can give you the ability to move guys around. Like I said, with Toomer, you can move him around. Asbury was a guy that's going to play, was probably going to be kind of more of a rover. Maybe you can move him into more of a safety role. You need to add another guy. I mean, like I said, they were going to try to get at least one more. Did they add two? I wouldn't be shocked by it. I mean, my gut says they'll try to add two, because, you know, I feel good about when you look at I'm looking at the roster, Jameer Johnson, he was banged up, but I think he can be a quality player. You know, JoJo Johnson is an interesting one. He came in so late. I think he was kind of, just trying to keep his head above water all last year. He was banged up in the spring, but he's a guy that has ability. I mean, obviously went to Notre Dame. Jamari Sharp's another one. But I think, losing Miner, you knew what you had in Miner. He was the one corner that had a track record last year at least. The other guys were kind of hit or miss just because they were banged up or whatever, or young or whatever. So, it would be nice to get a guy you know, I don't know if you're going to get a guy who's got the same kind of experience, but a guy who's at least played that you feel like you can trust a little bit. But I think TJ, I'll be kind of talk around your question. I think two would be my guess. One for sure. I'll be shocked if they don't take another DB. And I think, and I know there's interest in Pons, and there was interest in him before Miner went to portal. So I think it's one of those things where they knew him. He was good at JMU. He is a little bit small, but you know what? You know, I think there's ways to kind of cover that up and hide it. If you can play the ball, you can play the ball. So
yep.
I would say a corner like Pons possibly, and then a safety type.
How many scholarships does IU have open now?
Well, I haven't put Tucker on, right? If my numbers are right with Tucker, well, actually, I might actually have him already on here. I think they have seven left.
Seven left.
70 or eight left. I'm sorry. I think I have them with 77. Which is, I figured they would lose some and they get down. I didn't think they'd get down to 77. I thought like 80, 81, maybe 79. But then again, you know, I'm not, you know, even Miner doesn't surprise me. My guess is it, you know, somebody pried him loose with promises of a big pile of money. It's just the way, this is where we're at, guys. It's, I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, but it's at the same time, it's hard for me. If I was 22 years old and somebody said they were going to give me a bunch of money, it'd be hard to say no to it. You know what I mean? It just would. So, like I said, I don't love it, but, you know, I was texting with the coach and I mentioned something about the NIL and how I wasn't a big fan of it. And his response was adapt or die. And that's the right attitude to take. That's their attitude right now. I'm sure coaches don't love it, but you either adapt or you die. And so that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to adapt to these rules.
And it looks like the rules are going to be changing here shortly with revenue sharing and all that stuff. And it's going faster than we could keep up. But Matt, basketball has been spending NIL money like it's going out of style. How is it on the football side? Do they have enough to plug some of these holes?
I think so. I mean, I've heard that some of those money people who are helping out the basketball realize that they've got it. They got to put together some funds. I don't have a number, and I actually have not had a chance to listen to the podcast. I know we're not going to talk about it a lot, but I think Scott Dolson mentioned football NIL with the Hoosier Asterix guy. I don't know if he threw out numbers. I'm guessing he probably didn't.
No, but, not specifically.
Yeah. So but I do know that some of the same people who are been very generous with basketball NIL and their pod is pretty, it seems like it's almost limitless with how they're spending. They also understand that Cignetti and his people need to bring in some players, you know, for this upcoming season. I mean, if you can shore up the D line, I think linebacker looks pretty solid. Secondary, you know, obviously you have to add a couple guys, but the secondary, I think if you got a couple guys, looks pretty solid. I think the offense is going to be terrific. I think this is going to be an offense that keeps you in almost every week, and is going to be really productive. So, you know, if you can add a couple guys on defense, I've said it to people. This isn't drinking the Kool-Aid. I think 6-7 wins is doable, and I think 8 is. 6-7 wins is very likely, and 8 is doable if you can stay healthy and get some breaks in with your season. And the way the schedule, me and Sammy talked about off the record, it's not easy, but it's very manageable compared to previous years where it was an absolutely just brutal schedule.
Yeah, we talked about it, TJ, with Andy Graham a little bit. It's a lot easier these days to cover up a mediocre defense or a defense with some holes than it is to carry a terrible offense, and we've seen it the last few years. Yeah. You're going to have to score close to 30 points a game, even with a good defense, a lot of times to make the college football playoff. And I'm not just talking about IU, talking about everybody. The game is so geared towards offense that if you have your offense scoring 30, you know, 28 to 30 points a game, all you need your defense to do is limit it to less than that, and that should be doable. The schedule is manageable, and you just those two swing games, UCLA and Northwestern on the road early in the season are going to determine how far this team goes. Any final questions, TJ?
No, I think we're gonna see how the next I would assume probably about 2 weeks will play out in kind of the portal space, and then transition over to what Matt has said is expected to be kind of a fun June for high school recruiting as Indiana continues to try and build the class. So as always, Matt, you know, thanks for coming on. You and Jared are doing great work with Pigs. Everybody needs to check that out. A lot of good stuff every day on the Pigs boards and on the 24/7 site. So we appreciate your time.
Yeah.
No problem, guys. Yeah. Next couple of weeks should be, you know, that's when obviously June is a big month for guys come back on campus. So I would think
right.
The roster will probably be pretty much set here before middle towards the end of May, hopefully. And you know, they get back that first week of June, all the guys and get back to work with summer conditioning. So the next few weeks should be interesting, but thanks for having me, guys. It's always fun talking football with you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Matt. And also, if you haven't listened to Eric and Ward on the Hoosier Hysterics podcast with Scott Dolson, look, they can be silly a lot of times, but that was one of their best podcasts they have ever done. Great stuff on the first segment with football. I haven't listened to the back end of it yet, but a lot of good stuff on there that got talked about. So that does it. That does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast today. You can follow us at Hoosier_Huddle on X, formerly Twitter, and HoosierHuddle.com. You know, subscribe to us on YouTube as well, and then subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast, whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, all that stuff. So thanks for listening, and we'll have hopefully a lot of recruiting updates between now and the start of the season.